In this podcast, we talk to Lindsay Bondurant, director of the Pennsylvania Ear Institute, about everything her role as director entails and what she loves about the Pennsylvania Ear Institute and Salus University.
My name is Lindsay Bondurant. I am the director of the Pennsylvania Ear Institute at Salus University, which is the on-campus training clinic for our Doctor of Audiology program.
Do you want to take us through a day in your life or a week in your life as the director of the clinic?
Sure. I'm actually going to look at my actual calendar so I can take you through a week of my life, because as the director of the clinic, my day-to-day looks very different, and which is one of the things that I really enjoy about my role at Salus, is there's a lot of variety, a lot of different things I'm asked to do, but it does make it a little bit hectic sometimes. So for example, on Mondays and Tuesdays, those are usually time that's devoted to administrative responsibilities I have as clinic director. In the afternoon on Monday, I met with our office manager, who I meet with every week to talk about different issues that are coming up in the clinic. A lot of focus in those meetings is the billing and the reimbursement, the schedule, how things are going for the providers and for the staff, so that between she and I, we can make sure that we are meeting the needs of everybody who's involved with the clinic, and to make sure there isn't anything that's falling through the cracks or needs to be addressed. So this week on Monday, I actually squeezed in a patient who wasn't able to come in on one of my regular clinic days. So I was able to meet with that patient and her family to make sure that she had her hearing aids when she needed them. Then on Monday afternoon, I actually was helping to give tours of the clinic to some visitors from Drexel University who were on campus to look around, to get to know the campus better, get to know the clinicians and the Osborne College of Audiology, which is the college that my clinic is a part of. Decided that one of the best ways for visitors to get to know the college and a little bit more about audiology would be to see our clinical facilities and get a quick overview of what we do. So I showed them around the clinic, and then I went over and got to chat with some of my colleagues from Drexel. So Tuesday was very similar for me, different meetings and things. And then on a Wednesday, I typically have meetings in the morning, so you're probably getting the correct impression that being an administrator at a university involves a lot of meetings, because we need to try to connect with all of the different people who are impacted by what we do. And so that might be people who supervise students in the clinic, that might be people who oversee billing and reimbursement, that might be other faculty members, that might be patients. So on Wednesday afternoon, I get to see patients. So Thursday, all day with patients. And Friday is different responsibilities for teaching, for committee work. So meeting with prospective students who are going to be hopefully coming to Salus, and interviewing prospective faculty members. So that's a quick overview and what my entire week might look like on any given week.
So how did you end up at Salus?
How did I end up at Salus? That is a long and circuitous story. So I am actually a pediatric audiologist by training. I started my career in clinical pediatrics and worked my way kind of up to an administrative position at one of the hospitals in Philadelphia. And then I decided I wanted to get my PhD so that I could teach and do research and really have a more of a role in educating future audiologists, and in particular, future pediatric audiologists, to provide the best services that we could. So I left Philadelphia, went and got my PhD, and then worked at another university for a few years, and then ultimately was looking for a little bit of a change in pace from traditional faculty life. So traditional faculty life is lots of research, publishing, teaching, and things like that. But I really, really missed patient care. So I was approached by a current Salus faculty member after I gave a talk at a conference, and she mentioned to me that this position was open as a clinic director. And it wasn't something that I had necessarily considered before. But once I learned more about it, it really spoke to my strengths and my interests. And so, as clinic director, knowing that I would have an opportunity to do active patient care, which I definitely missed doing when I had more of a traditional faculty role. So I was very excited about working with kids and their families again, but I would also get to supervise students and work with graduate students, which is really important to me and one of the reasons that I wanted to get my PhD. But then also a big component of what I do as clinic director is plan for the future of the clinic. So when I was brought on board, my goal was to grow the clinic, to increase the number of patients who were coming into PEI for services. And then as we built the clinic, really start to think about next steps and the directions we could go. So that was really exciting to me to kind of put on that more of innovative thinker and projects and things like that to really sort of increase the reach of the clinic. So I like to have lots of different things going on. I don't do well with just the same thing every single day. So those were the reasons that the position at Salus interested me. But also, I had worked in Philadelphia for several years when I first started my career, and I just fell in love with this area, which, as a Southerner, I did not expect to fall in love with this area, but it is, my favorite place that I've ever lived. And so the opportunity to move back to this area and put down some roots, finally, after many, many years of moving around, was just really appealing to me.
What do you like about Salus? What has made you stay here?
There's a lot of things that I like about Salus and a lot of reasons that I stay. And interestingly, as I mentioned, I have moved around a lot. I've had a number of different jobs and over the course of my career, but Salus is the place that I've stayed at longer than any other place I've been. It is currently setting the record for longevity for me. And I think a large part of that is that the people at Salus are fantastic. I really enjoy working with my colleagues over in the clinic. That's who I spend the most time with is the other clinicians and the staff at the Pennsylvania Ear Institute. But my colleagues in the Osborne College of Audiology, even the ones who are not in clinic, are really delightful, kind people that I enjoy talking to. And Salus is small enough that I've really had the opportunity to get to know people in lots of different departments. And it's just been reinforced to me over and over again that the people are kind and funny and they care about their students. And I just truly enjoy coming to work and getting to see the other people in the clinic and in the college and across the university. That has been absolutely the biggest game changer for me is knowing that every day I look forward to coming to work and seeing my colleagues.
So you mentioned your specialty is in pediatric audiology. How did you choose your specialty?
I always knew, even from the time I was an undergraduate student, that I was interested in pediatrics. I just enjoy kids. I enjoy their energy. And I've always found it to be something that is fun and that I have a knack for working with kids and kind of being able to get on their level, whatever that says about my ability to be silly and goofy. I think it resonates with kids. So that's what originally drew me to it. But over the years, I've realized that working in pediatrics, I really enjoy working with the kids. That's fun. But I also enjoy working with families and seeing, kind of accompanying them on their journey when their child is diagnosed with hearing loss. That is a lot of new information for a family. So having the opportunity to connect with the child and also connect with the family and see both the child and their family grow over time has been really rewarding to me. And I one thing I tell my students a lot is when you're in pediatrics, your patients change so much from one visit to the next. And so if you are working with adults, your patient will be very similar personality and lifestyle if they're 50 or 52 or 55. But when I have a patient who's a newborn or a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old going on into their teenage years and going off to college, those are very, very different needs and abilities and personality. Everything kind of changes over time. So it keeps it really interesting and it's really fun to see how the kids change. So I think definitely that's one thing that I find really rewarding. I also find that pediatrics is very intellectually stimulating for me. So there's a lot that you really have to know how to do and know how to do it well, because you have that additional component of not knowing whether any particular patient is going to be able to sit there for the whole evaluation, right? Being able to get a 2-year-old to do an entire hearing test requires a whole different set of tricks and skills and ideas and flexibility that I don't necessarily have to use with adult patients. And so for me, that variety keeps it really, really interesting and intellectually stimulating, in addition to that kind of rewarding aspect of knowing that what we are contributing to that child's life will impact them for their entire life, that we're helping them build that foundation that when they are teenagers and young adults and going all the way into adulthood, those things that we are building in their early childhood is what's going to set the stage for their success later in life. And that is just it's a huge responsibility, but also makes it just really, really rewarding and fun to be able to be a part of that.
My next question was going to be, what's the most rewarding thing about your job? So there you go.
Yep.
Read my mind.
Yes, exactly. So, and my job is, it's rewarding, kind of going back to why Salus and why I took this particular job. Definitely the clinical pediatric side is rewarding in all of those ways of emotionally connecting with kids and their families and everything. But I also have that component of getting to supervise graduate students and mentor graduate students, which is really rewarding to see them progress from when they, even when they interview for admission into Salus, being able to see them grow from that interview while they're still an undergraduate student to when they start the program. They know very little about audiology. And then, getting to see them grow and talk to them about what specialties they might be interested in, and see them turn into full-fledged audiologists. They graduate, they become colleagues. And I have, graduate students from years and years ago who are becoming very well-known audiologists in the field. And it's so fun to look at them and say, I knew you when you were just getting started as a student, and now you are like, just setting the world on fire and doing these amazing things. So, again, I think that's part of why clinicians are drawn to working in our environment, at the Pennsylvania Ear Institute, because we get that balance, that combination of patient care and all the rewards that come with patient care, but then also connecting with students and mentoring students and seeing them off into the world allows us to have a bigger impact on the profession of audiology and on, future patients. There's only so many patients that I can see over the course of my career, but if I can train a lot of really good audiologists, then my potential impact is exponentially increased, because those audiologists will be great providers and caregivers and get doing the best for that they can for their patients. And I got to play a role in that too. So it's pretty amazing.
Is there anything about your job that most people wouldn't know?
So I find that there are a lot of things that people don't realize about audiology in general. And all of the work and training and experience that goes into being able to really serve a patient to the best of our ability and work towards these, optimal outcomes for our patients. And so audiologists need to have expertise, not just in the auditory system, which is important, and it's a very sophisticated system, but we also need to understand how the brain works and how acoustics work and how sound, is transmitted in different environments. And then we need to also understand the sophisticated electronics that go into hearing aids and how all of those things interact with each other. So I think there's a lot of depth there to the field that the average person, thinks, you either hear or you don't hear. Or, and then if you don't hear, we put a device on you that makes things louder, and it's just that simple. And the reality is there's a lot more complexity to it than that. It takes somebody with a lot of training to really be able to manage all of that in a way that helps the patient navigate that journey from not being able to hear well to being able to connect with the people that they love and the things that they want to do.
For more information about the Pennsylvania Ear Institute, visit salisuhealth.com/PEI.